reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, page 1096 in the Pew Bibles. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that were there was no needy person amongst them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here the reading ends.
Please stand for our gospel reading, which is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Remain standing for the creed. And we proclaim together, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as Hamish comes and speaks to us.
Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will speak to each one of us from your word. May your Holy Spirit move in our midst and help us to understand what you have to say to us and help us to put it into practice in the coming days. Amen. My wife loves those television programs where we see dramatic changes, changes to houses. I have to continually watch DIY SOS and 60 Minute Makeover. When we see rooms which are old-fashioned and dull or broken down transformed into new, clean, modern, open-plan spaces, and perhaps with that ultimate statement of change, bifold doors. My wife also likes those programs that change people's bodies, like 10 years younger, when people, or ones when people lose enormous amounts of weight. But she loves seeing people change dramatically and the joy that it brings. We love to see the faces of people as they see marvelous changes taking place. Shock and delight. And my wife often bursts into tears along with the people on the television. In our readings, we've seen the marvelous changes which took place in Jesus' followers as they came to realize the truth of the resurrection. And I want to look briefly at a few of the ways in which they were changed. And we need to ask ourselves, are we changed too? And first of all, we see the change from being fearful to being joyful. Fearful to joyful. Look at those in the upper room. The Bible says they were locked away for fear of the leaders of the Jews. And they were despondent. Perhaps they thought, what if they do to us what they did to Jesus? We need to keep out of sight, keep our heads down until the dust settles and people forget that we were Jesus' friends. Then the news of the resurrection gradually breaks from the women, from Peter and John, and Cleopas and his friend from Emmaus. And then they all actually see the risen Jesus. Note that Jesus comes to them rather than the other way around. The change is dramatic. They eventually leave the room where they've locked themselves away and are out there telling others without fear, filled with joy and enthusiasm. So first of all, we see that change from being fearful to being joyful. And then we see the change from being, from doubting to trusting. Doubting to trusting. Thomas, and probably others as well, were not sure that they could believe the news of Jesus rising. Could it really be true? Or was it just wishful thinking? Perhaps mistaken identity, just someone that looked like Jesus. After all, most men at that time just looked much the same with beards and wore hoodies. But when Jesus came specifically to Thomas, his doubts were cast aside and he worshipped Jesus. Gradually, all Jesus' former followers believed absolutely in the truth of what had happened. Jesus was indeed alive, and all their senses confirmed the facts. They saw him with their eyes, they heard his voice, touched his hands and feet, tasted and smelt a breakfast with him on the seashore. They were now certain about it and trusted him completely. So we have fearful to joyful, doubting to trusting. And then we have hiding to sharing. Hiding to sharing. Initially, the followers of Jesus huddled together, locked away in the upper room. They were thinking just of themselves, what they had lost, how badly they felt about what they had done or what they had not done. Probably blaming each other for what had happened to Jesus. But then, as the news of Jesus' resurrection broke, and he met them on several occasions, and they received the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, they were changed. The makeover to end all makeovers. No longer were they thinking about just themselves, but they shared, as we read in our Acts reading, they shared with one another. And they eventually shared with those immediately around and beyond. They wanted to support one another. And they wanted everyone to know what had happened. The result was that it wasn't just them who were changed, but they wanted everyone else to be changed as well. It started a chain reaction, which was unstoppable. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. I wonder if we've been changed by the Easter message. Are we joyful and enthusiastic? Are we filled with faith and assurance? Are we keen to reinforce each other's faith and to share the news with others who've never understood it for themselves? Last week at 10:30, we sang Tim Hughes' great song about resurrection change, O Happy Day, which has those words, I'll never be the same, forever I am changed. Have we experienced that Easter change in us? Jesus called it being born again. And Paul likened it to a new creation. Like the disciples, so many people today are fearful, without faith, hiding away. We need that ultimate Easter makeover. We need the transformation which the Holy Spirit, who is the power and presence of the risen Jesus, to turn us from fear to enthusiastic, joyful Christians, to turn us from faithless to trusting, assured Christians, and to turn us from inward-looking, divisive people into people who share with one another and to share with those around and beyond, our friends and our neighbors, and with those whom we are involved with through social networking, if that's our sort of thing. I want to close with a prayer. Lord, change us as individuals, that we might know your risen power and presence. Lord, change how we view each other and how we support one another. Lord, change the way we interact with our wider circle of relationships, so that like ripples in a pond, our world might be changed, starting with us. Amen.
Thank you, Hamish. Time now for our offering to be taken up, so please stand. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.